हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। सो भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय 1 अधिकरण 3 भक्ति अलोन इज द कंक्लूजन ऑफ ऑल द स्क्रिप्चर्स page 81. Okay. I think we're in the Vriti, no? Or did we finish that? Okay, well.
I think we're down at the commentary of Sridhar Swami.
Ah, okay. Okay. The commentary says, first he speaks to the highest benefit. The king asks about Bhagavad Dharma, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.31. The answer is also given in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.34-36. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37, pure bhakti with hearing and chanting unmixed with jnana or other elements is mentioned. Bhaktiya ekaya. The word ekaya indicates steady bhakti, uninterrupted. Right? So ekaya means it's one-pointed. It's just... that's what you're doing. So it's uninterrupted, because if you're not doing anything else, then that will always be what you're doing, because interrupted means that sometimes you're doing this, sometimes that, so many other things in the mind is taking up what's important, what benefit you'll get, some problem is there, some other things like this. But this means it's just about bhakti. There isn't some other idea or indication in one's life. So then it becomes steady, because all these different aspects will always be about bhakti. So whatever you're doing, you know, then you'll be able to be engaged in devotional service. So there's no idea, and the distraction here, because the distraction here, what we're meaning, is not that you're doing activities. The distraction is a desire for a result from those activities within the realm of karma and jnana. So one never gets distracted by that. It's not that, oh, here's an opportunity I could get some benefit. No, here's an opportunity for service to Krishna, or here's another different opportunity for service to Krishna. So it's never seen from the context of that it's about ourselves and what benefit we'll get from it. So that becomes the important aspect. That's why then we see is that Krishna is telling Arjuna about being one-pointed. And then one of the major distractions we saw was worship of the demigods. You know, so that people would take up worship of the demigods, when Krishna spends so much time in the Bhagavad Gita explaining that this is not very important, then is a, you know, a bit of a bewilderment. But in any case, it's very popular. Means there's, you know, like 1 billion people in India who are doing that, you know, that they're looking at it from that point as, yes, the Gita is there, but at the same time as they end up worshiping the gods. So we have to see is that here that Sridhar Swami is pointing out that no, you never look at it from the point of karma or jnana, never, because it's not of any value to the soul. In other words, we have to be very, very confident that the path of karma and jnana on their own actually can give zero benefit to the soul. We have to be comfortable with that. Means it doesn't happen. It's not possible. Means one can say is no, but you know, we can get so many nice facilities for doing service, but they're only of value when they're applied to service. So it's the service that's valuable, and then you're adding, just like cooking is valuable. Then the kitchen can add to the cooking process. It's not that the kitchen creates cooking, right? Kitchen, in its own, cooking itself already includes that you're going to have a fire, you're going to have some utensils, you're going to have that. What they are, that depends upon the arrangement. But cooking already includes pots and pans and spoons and knives and graters and all this kind of stuff. It's not the other way around. We're used to looking at it from the mechanistic point of view. That's why we have a tendency to think that way. But in actuality, no. The mechanistic point of view appears when we leave Krishna out of the consideration. It's Krishna's desire, because we're looking at it, oh, it's my desire. And so then the mechanics and the place and all that is how I get things done. But in actuality, for the soul, they can get no satisfaction unless they see it's for Krishna's pleasure. And I'm taking part in using this particular arrangement and this particular activities to get a result for Krishna. Then it has a meaning. So the idea that the situation that is there, the activities, the results gained are important in themselves, that comes only from a mentality that doesn't have Krishna included. Because on the spiritual platform, action is a result of anubhava. When they see Krishna or see situations connected with Krishna, then they that gives them a static ecstasy, you know. So on that plan of bhava, their attraction to Krishna, then they have that feeling to express it. So in other words, you let's say you're happy, you want to express it. You're sad, you want to express it. You're angry, you want to express it. Whatever is the mood, you want to express it. So anubhava means that desire to express it. You know, what it is, whatever it may be, you feel like crying, you feel like doing this, you do like doing that. The sattvika bhavas, those happen and you're not necessarily interested, but they happen anyway. Right? That's the body. It starts shivering, it starts crying. That's why we see his raktak when he's fanning the Lord, and the tears are coming in his eyes, and he can't see the Lord and can't do his service properly. You know, he's shivering in the body, and he thinks these symptoms should go away. Even though they're creating ecstasy, he said they should go away because they're getting rid of my service. Because I, seeing Krishna here in this situation, I want to serve him. So his service is more important than the effect of the ecstasies. Right? So we're saying that that's just coming on its own. So anubhava means the desire to express it. So therefore, because of seeing things connected to Krishna, everything connected to Krishna, when we see various situations, and there's an opportunity that us and our nature and how we can serve Krishna, that opportunity is there in that particular situation. Then we apply ourselves into performing whatever action with whatever utilities are there to serve Krishna, right? So that's what's happening. That's how the natural form of the living entity goes. When you leave it out, it's just, I feel, oh, in this situation, I could get this benefit or that benefit. Or this situation is not good for me, and so I want to go away or adjust it or make something. What we have to understand is that all comes down to what's your motive, what's the intent. So that's why karma and jnana can't do anything for the soul, because for the soul, it only getting benefit when it's seeing what's nice for Krishna, and then that seeing how they can in that situation express that desire to please Krishna in that way. So the situation is not generating it. Krishna's generating it. Right? It's coming from Krishna. Even when we say the situation expanded from Krishna, but it's still the potency of Krishna that makes us then want to do something for Krishna. No, when you say, no, the situation is important on its own, no, it's not. It's important because it's a connection to Krishna. So that's the ekaya. Ekaya is that there is no other interest, so therefore there's no other endeavor. Whatever you're doing, it's always going to be in connection with trying to please Krishna. And so there is no karma and jnana. So when you're confident no karma and jnana can give you any benefit, that's where then sarvadharma paritya comes up. Because what are the religions? The religions are all what you can do with the various, with what situations you can do what and get what that's religion. Right? Something has a nature. What can it do? What results can it generate? What environments can it work in? So that's then going to be then the whole point of religion. So if no religious process is being used for karma or jnana, it's only being used to please Krishna. That's sarva dharma parityaja. So that's why the devotee is the most natural person. People talk natural and this and that, but none of them are natural. Natural only means service to Krishna. When the devotee has that desire, he wants to serve Krishna. That's natural. And anything else is artificial. So any aspect of karma, because it includes all the different, you know, the pious activities, it includes the, you know, the yagyas, the charities, the varnashram dharma, you know, austerities, you know, whatever it is, study of the Vedas, it includes all that, right? And jnana includes, you know, seeing things on the spiritual platform of the soul, but it's for the soul's benefit without Krishna. Liberation means, how do I get benefit without Krishna? I want to be freed from the material entanglement, so there's no misery, so I'm happy. It has nothing to do with Krishna. So it's artificial. It's not real. It won't give any actual lasting benefit. It means all these things give temporary benefit. Jnana also gives temporary benefit. Because the point is the temporary, it doesn't matter how long it is. It's just like for us, you go to the heavenly planets, 10,000 years, you stay there, this, that. But for that demigod that's there, he lives 100 years. Like Brahma, 311 trillion years. But for him, it's only 100 years. So even if you merge into Brahman and that, then it's just a matter of a few moments and you're back. Right? Like we say, it's really cold out, you know, you're freezing, you go inside, there's a warm fire, you go on that fire, oh, this is great, this is fabulous. But after 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, you're warm. You don't feel the cold anymore. And so therefore, then there's no importance to it. It doesn't give you happiness. Happiness only happens when there's difference. You can compare warm to cold or cold to warm, you know? Anyway, that's the way it works. When it's all one, there's no comparison, there's no happiness. You get bored, the soul gets bored. In other words, you merge into Brahman or extinguish your existence as a Buddhist, you will get bored. When that bored is just a few minutes, how long do you get bored doing mundane things? You do it for a little while, you get bored. Even you could do it for hours, you get bored still. It's not eternal. That's reality. So that's why then it's being said is only pure bhakti. That's the only thing that can remove all these things. Because only pure bhakti then has the platform in which the individual living entity is seeing things in context of Krishna. Therefore, there's no karma or jnana. Karma jnana comes when no Krishna is there. And then when Krishna is there and you still maintain that desire, then it's mixed. But the point is focus on what's not mixed, that part. And then one will be purified and move forward. You don't say, oh, it's mixed and so I give it all up. No, it's mixed because that shouldn't be there. You know, just like you have rice and in the rice, there's some chaff, a few rocks, you know, things like that. We don't go, oh, this rice is used to throw it all out. No, you pick out all those things and then you have pure rice. That's an art in everything. And so that's accomplished when we know that nothing else, no karma, no jnana, no aspect of it in any way, shape, or form will actually do benefit for me, the soul. It can't. It can be used in pure bhakti to serve pure bhakti. That gives. So in other words, pure bhakti gives advantage to the soul. The external environment and the facilities assists bhakti. Right? That's what's assisting. It's not doing anything for me because I'm not the body, gross or subtle. Does this make any sense? You know? So one has to be very convinced of this. No matter what it is, if one is, then everything becomes very simple and clear. Like sometimes devotees, oh, it's inconsistent. This is, seems contradictory. That's only because they're maintaining the mundane viewpoint. That's what contradicts with other mundane viewpoints or with the spiritual. But as soon as you remove that, it's just about pure devotional service. There isn't anything else. There's no contradiction. Because then it's just a matter of, does it assist? If it does, you use it. If it doesn't, you don't. Just like we see in the sixth canto. You have some of the great kings where they're doing all these nice devotional activities, direct devotional activities. But you also see some kings, because they're kings and they're expected and the people to set example, they're doing their Shraddha rites and their big yajnas and all these other things. But for them, they're just doing it to please Krishna. It's Krishna's rules. They're doing it to please Krishna. It is his, within the context of his duty as the emperor of the world, because not necessarily everybody's going to be a devotee. So you're setting the example. Others may or may not be doing it, but that's not what's important. But in there, then they, you know, they set like that. So for them, they see it all connected to Krishna. But if it's not your duty, why would you do it? Just like for devotees, they don't have a duty to worship the demigods. They don't have to worship it, show the people, the public, how to do nicely and all that. You know what I mean? It's like, who here can do that? Right? And anyway, why would you? You got the opportunity to chant and do direct service, so we wouldn't waste our time. Yeah? No? Okay. The previous verse, continuing with the commentary. The previous verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.236, speaks of perfecting Bhagavad Dharma by offering material actions to the Lord. Thus, it does not interrupt the bhakti of hearing and chanting. Thus, bhakti is performed steadily. The two verses explain how bhakti can remain steady. First, the method of being steady is explained, right? So offering of material actions to the Lord, because it means if you're moving the body, the hand is moving, say doing the arctic, what's the hand, what is this made out of? It's material energy. So therefore, offering material actions, it's you're offering them, you know, to Krishna. Then that's how they become spiritualized. So you get the but you're only interested in doing pure bhakti. So therefore, the hand's moving for Krishna, the mouth is talking for Krishna. All these things, they're all being used for Krishna. Then it becomes pure bhakti, because we have to remember, pure bhakti includes these, not the other way around. Bhakti is independent. Material action is not independent. It's dependent upon Krishna for his potencies. It doesn't exist without Krishna. It can't function without Krishna. And so therefore, naturally, since it's all Krishna, therefore the devotee seeing everything in context with Krishna, they can see everything in the context of bhakti. Therefore, bhakti is the independent one. Material means there has to be no Krishna. And then it's dependent upon what's my gross body, what's my subtle body, what's my karma, what situation am I in, how can I apply this? It's completely dependent. It's not independent. Well, bhakti is independent because it can function anywhere. Now, the devotees are dependent, so they serve under the internal potency. So according to their particular attraction to Krishna, therefore the different situations produce various kinds of things. Like you have a grove in the forest, cowherd boys are going to think, hey, let's run around, yell, scream, and, you know, do this kind of stuff, you know, or sit down, eat a snack. Mother Yashoda sees that field. She thinks, oh, Krishna could sit here nicely, you know, and have lunch and all that, so she sends her servants. The gopis see that field and they see, oh, we can interact with Krishna. We can play holy or we can dance or things like that. So the cows will think we'll sit here and eat grass and moo and look at Krishna. Right? So that's how it's going to be seen. It's going to be according to their a love for Krishna, it's there. So it's not a fault. But here, then it is a fault because the living entity is identifying with the material energy. That's the fault. But that it's all Krishna's energy and that it can all be used in Krishna's service according to your position, right? Because it's still going to be your position. On the spiritual world, it'll be according to your rasa, because you have that rasa. Therefore, you manifest that particular form. And that's why then you're in certain situations with certain duties. It started from your attachment. Material world is because of our attachment to enjoying for our own benefit. Therefore, according to our previous actions, our karma, we get a particular body and situation we're in. So we're not those, But since we don't have the spiritual body, we can act with spiritual intent. And therefore, which activities of this gross and subtle body and the situations we're in can be used in pure devotion, we engage them. And then by that, then we're able to see as body, mind, and words are always engaged in Krishna's actions. So therefore, then we will be able to come to that platform. Yes? Okay. The first method, first, the method of being steady is explained. Quote, the world of enjoyment, even it is not directly present, remains an influence on the jiva who meditates on the enjoyment. Right? So it means even on the mind. Right? It's not directly present, but he's thinking about it could be present or it was present. Just as he does in a dream or in the desire appearing in the mind. Therefore, the intelligent person should control the mind, which accepts and rejects actions. By worship of the Lord with devotion, he becomes fearless. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.238. So this is first the method for being steady, right? So he controls the mind and rejects those actions, he only accepts those actions that are nice for Krishna's service and rejects those actions which are not. Then you become steady. Well, on the material platform, then we accept and reject based on what's going to be good for us. So depending upon your karma, you're better at it. Some people know how to accept something and get some benefit immediately or long-term. Others, they don't know how to choose, so they don't know. They may reject a situation that's good, you know, and like that. And so, or accept a situation that's bad. So they don't have the karma to actually get any good benefits. So it always they make wrong choices. So they're unsteady, on the material platform. But here for the devotee, they're steady on the spiritual platform because they only make decisions, accept what's useful for Krishna, reject what's not useful. Yeah. Udriki, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who lives in the forest renouncing them, should not have... Oh, wait a minute. What? Oh, okay. This goes one who. And then the next line starts with who. Wow, I just skipped to the second line because of that. Okay, samshaya. So then, samshaya means doubt, right? Yeah. One who does not have enjoyment such as garlands, sandalwood, and women, or who lives in the forest renouncing them, should not have this fear. Uttara, do not say this. The world of enjoyment, dravya, though not present, remains in the mind for the person because he still thinks of the enjoyments. It is like the desires or dreams created by the mind, dhyā. Therefore, one should control the mind which accepts or rejects actions. Control of the mind, however, will not take place except by devotion to the lotus feet of Guru and by no other method. It is said in the personified Vedas. The mind is like, quote, the mind is like an impetuous horse that even persons who have regulated the senses and breath cannot control. Those in this world who try to tame the uncontrolled mind, but who abandon the feet of their spiritual master, encounter hundreds of obstacles in their cultivation of various distressful practices. Oh, unborn Lord, they are like merchants on a boat in the ocean who have failed to employ a helmsman. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.33. Another quote, one conquers Rajas and Tamas by a predominance of sattva. One conquers sattva by being indifferent to the results of actions, right? Because sattva means I'm supposed to do my duties, I do those duties, I will get a good result. But when you're indifferent to that, then you conquer goodness. Right? So goodness means I have duties, I should do the duties. Right? One conquers all of these obstacles quickly and easily by devotion to Guru. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.15.25. So here you see is that this idea that devotees have, you know, in their soft preaching of, oh, we'll just raise them the mode of goodness. The point is goodness. It means who you are, what are your duties? You're doing them, you know, because you should do them. You may be attached to that piety of doing them and then ultimately getting the results of that because it is a pious work. But the point is you, it has to be, you know who you are and what your duties are, and you go ahead, knock me out. Who's telling those who preach this kind of, you know, bringing people to goodness, who's telling people who they are and what their duties are according to their nature? No one. Because they don't know. They think goodness is, you know, being nice. It's like the animals in the forest. Animals live in the forest. That being living in the forest, that's mode of goodness. But that living entity in the body of an animal is in the mode of ignorance. Right? And then they have the particular modes that their body itself has, is controlled by, like a monkey, controlled by ignorance, though they're living in the forest. So then ignorance of ignorance. Cows, then they're in goodness. But the living entity in the cow is in ignorance. But living out in the natural environments, the forest, is nice. So we have to see is that this idea is one conquers Rajas Tamas by predominance of sattva. One conquers sattva by being indifferent to the results of actions. I'm doing this because it should be done. And then how can you do that? Is by devotion to Guru. By Guru, because Guru said, do this for Krishna. That's actually how you conquer. But he's pointing out, unless one hears from Guru, then you can't know. So unless they're taking what Prabhupada says, so for disregarding that and doubting that and coming up with other things, you can't conquer over the, you can't conquer goodness. And goodness means you're following the Vedas. So who's doing that? You know, a few are. But the point is that, you know, they may want to do something nice, but the point is you have to have that devotion to Guru. And that doesn't mean just the sentiment, you know. Otherwise you get, you know, born again, you know, Haris or something, you know, just have faith in Prabhupada and that's it. But they don't do anything for Prabhupada, you know, just think of Prabhupada now and again, sing a few songs, sing a lot of Jai Prabhupada, you know, and stuff like that, sit around with the guitar, you know, like that, hold hands, you know, does that make sense? You know, so, but the point is what are they doing? How are they following the instructions? So if we don't follow the instructions, then you don't really get as much benefit. The devotion is not very strong. That they have a sentiment, that's nice, because they can put the sentiment in so many different directions, that they put it in the direction of Prabhupada, you know, or with the Acharya, that's good. But you can't get the full benefit unless you see how everything is going to be connected to Krishna and following those instructions. So does that make some sense? Yes, please. Jagadishji.
Just a little bit on the previous point of the enjoyment spirit of the jiva. It sounds like it's inherent in the jiva's nature. However, some project it on the metta and others aren't. Is that correct? Can you hear me? Arimbal?
I think he might be frozen because he's not.
Can you hear me, Charachandraji?
Yes, I can hear you. So I think
did you hear my question?
Yeah, question came through. Well, I think it's on his end.
Oh, okay. Bad luck.
I give it some time.
Sure.
Yeah, so he's gone, so back again. Maybe he'll hear you this time.
Okay, looks like we're back. So I'm not sure who froze, or you froze, I froze, we all froze.
Well, it seems like you froze, but could you hear the question?
No, I just said, and so, and then it went. And then shortly after that, mine went out and came back into the meeting. So it looks like it was me this time. Okay, yeah. Please. No, I didn't hear the question at all.
Well, the question is, it sounds like the enjoyment spirit of the jiva is inherent. And however, some project it on the metta and others aren't. Is that correct?
Wow, you froze him again. It must be the question, Prabhu.
Yeah, man, that's what I think. Probably I'll hold the question.
No, here, I just switched out of the Wi-Fi, so now maybe it'll be more steady. Oh, I got okay. up to so that you said that the jiva has the tendency to enjoy, you know, it's inherent, yeah. you know, and so, and that's as far as I've gotten both times. It cut out the same point in the question both times.
Should I try and repeat this third time, or we just skip it?
Yes, please, because if it doesn't work, then it means I switched out of the Wi-Fi into the regular thing.
Okay, so it seems like the enjoying spirit is inherent in the jiva, yes. but some jivas project it on the metta, and others aren't. Would it be correct to say like that?
Yes, means that. It's inherent in the nature of the jiva because they're one third ananda, right? It means one part is eternity, one part is knowledge, and one part is bliss. So those on the spiritual platform, you know, the actual transcendental platform, know that bliss is coming because of Krishna, because he's the blissful person. He's the unlimitedly. He is rasa. We are in a rasa. He is a rasa. So therefore, that relationship with him and seeing everything in context of him, that's actually how you'll be happy. You know, it's just like, let's say you get something good to eat and you're with a very good friend, or let's say the mother with the child or something like that. You want to share it with them. Right? That will make you more happy than just you sitting there and eating it yourself. Right, so for the jiva, this on the spiritual platform, since everything is seen in connection with Krishna, their only happiness is that a nice situation. Wow, in this situation, we could do this and get this result. So they're always looking for those situations that will generate happiness, like you're pointing out. But they only want to generate that for Krishna. And if Krishna's happy, then they'll be happy. So in this situation, you know, you could cook something, and this one you could sing, and this one you could dance, and this one you could do this. But they want to do it for Krishna. On the material world, they have that same tendency to look for happiness, but they look for it mechanistically without Krishna. So all they do is remove pain and call that happiness. They never actually get to the point of happiness, because happiness can only actually happen Ananda, when it's in connection with Krishna. Because that resonates with the soul. Otherwise, that I removed the pain. You know, it doesn't. What does it do for the soul? I identify with it, so therefore I feel something, but it's not actually doing anything for me. I projected onto that it's good. If this situation happens, I'll be happy. But in actuality, they're not actually getting happiness. So yes, it is. Because the soul, just like the soul is always looking for a permanent situation, but the soul is always looking for knowledge and ways that they can, consistently generate, facility and experiences that they want, you know, through action. So that's inherent. They're always doing that. Does that make sense? Anything else? We're good? Okay. Okay. Then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur continues. This has been said in the previous verse as well. Sardarta Darshani 11.2.38. Right. So the previous one where it's pointing out that it's about Krishna and all that, that's what it's talking about. This gives some details that through the mercy of Guru, then one can cross over this. And so that's how you know Krishna, because we're always servant of the servant of the servant. We're never directly servant of Krishna. We can directly render service, but we're never directly Krishna's servant. We're the servant of the servants. Right? Like that. It's a mood, you know, like that. So then Jiva Goswami continues. Dravyaha refers to the material world. Though that world of matter does not exist for the pure Atma, it remains because of the intelligence of the person meditating on it. It is produced for the pure Atma, just as dreams or desires appear in the mind. Therefore, one should control the mind which accepts and rejects actions. from worship of the Lord by steady bhakti, tataha, one will be fearless. Right? So dravya, we see it, dravya means ingredients. So we're seeing dravya as ingredients for myself, because it's the material world, because you'll get, I see the ingredients, I'll get material results, and I will enjoy because I identify with the material energy. But when the Atma stops identifying with the material energy, the pure Atma, then they see it's all Krishna's energy. So now here's an opportunity to use this energy to get, you know, situations and results and everything for pleasing Krishna. So then they go beyond. So you're still dealing with the ingredients, but it's not on the material platform. It's not separate because the results are for Krishna. The results are in context with Krishna. While on dravya, the material platform, it's for ourselves, right? or our extended selves, whatever is the consideration. You know, but extended self is better than just the self on the material platform, because then the extended means then we're considering others. So it's going, it has that selfless aspect of some aspect of surrender or giving in charity or, you know, selfless work or something like that. It has it, but ultimately we're doing it for our benefit because these people are important to us. Therefore I work for them because they're me. So I'm actually working for myself. But when you go to the ultimate, the transcendental, then you're dealing yourself as the actual individual, not covered by material energy, interacting with Krishna, who is the supreme, you know, transcendental individual. And so then that becomes the natural environment, because Krishna is so dear, you want to please him. It may be connected to you. That's why you're happy, because Krishna is the most dear, therefore is connected. But it's selfless because that's the natural position. Krishna wants to see the devotees happy and vice versa. So the idea of it is going on in the material world because they're actually jivas. You know, they're actual living entities, you know, parts and parcels of Krishna. But because they're covered by the avidya shakti, they don't see the connection between it and Krishna. Therefore, in that separated condition, then they can only get benefit for what's separated from them, or the gross and subtle body. They can't actually do anything for themselves, the actual jiva, the soul. So you see, it's a reflection. So you can complain, oh, but it's the same. No, this is a reflection of that, not that's like this. This is a reflection of that, and it's perverted. Therefore, that's the problem. You remove Krishna, yes, it's naturally going to be the same. Like people want, you know, the government to be wonderful and every communities to be wonderful and everything managed perfectly. You know, as Prabhupada says, they want Ram Rajya, right? The kingdom of Ram without Ram. Because people talk about the kingdom of God. Who talks about the interaction with God, the service to God? What do you do there? You know, you're floating around on a boat with your, you know, the kids are there with their pet tiger or lion, you know, in a wonderful place and just having a good time with all their family and relatives and, you know, everyone from their own community, because if they're not from their own community, then naturally everybody would have gone to hell, you know, because only you and your community will not. And so that where's the service to God? Whoever talks about it. So that's the difficulty. It's not about God. It's about ourselves. So therefore, it's pious, it's in line with, it's in consideration of God, but it's not actually in devotion to God, because the devotion is temporary. Once you get the results or the heavenly pleasures, you give up that service, that devotion. Then you just enjoy. So for the living entity, yes, they try to enjoy, because that is the reflected nature. It's inherent in them, but how they express it is reflected on the material world. You know, on this mirror of desire separate from Krishna. But so from worship of the Lord by steady bhakti tataha, one will become fearless. Once one becomes free of the fear of that service to Krishna, I think, oh, because I'll be just absorbed in Krishna, but you know, how will I live? How will I eat? Where will I stay? No, Krishna will take. You're fearless. It doesn't matter, because the soul is in connection with Krishna. Therefore, you're always under his protection. Yes? No? Very good. Seems Jagadish is gone. Okay. Vriti, having instructed that one should perform steady bhakti for getting free from fear. Next, the nature of bhakti is described. Hearing about the auspicious birth and activities of the Supreme Lord and singing his names, which describes those activities devoid of attachment to anything else, is the process of pure bhakti, right? So here, say again. Hearing about the auspicious birth and activities of the Supreme Lord and singing his names, which describe those activities devoid of attachment to anything else, is the process of pure bhakti. Right, so hearing and chanting about Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes without attachment to anything else, that's pure bhakti. So that's what we have to get to. Right? So, yeah. Anucheta 61. Okay, here's another doubt. Right? But by controlling the mind, which is part of yoga, one deviates from pure bhakti. Then I think this will be the uttara. The mind will be controlled automatically by attachment to the Lord through performance of bhakti alone. Thus, bhakti is the only process. Right. So the doubt comes up as, okay, you're controlling the mind. You said control the mind and then just engage in the Lord's service. But control of the mind is part of yoga. The yoga system explains the mechanics of that. So by using those mechanical methods of controlling the mind, that as part of yoga, that's on the material platform. Therefore, you deviate from pure bhakti. So this, again, we see is they're splitting everything. Pure bhakti is their idea. They're looking at it from the mundane concept. The spiritual means it has to be the opposite of nature, of material. Because we take it material is the source. Our mind is the source. I'm the source. I'm the center. When it's the exact opposite, is no, God's the center. This material world is a reflection of what goes on in the spiritual world, not the other way around. So in other words, someone's doing something wrong, then telling them, no, don't do it like that. No, but in the real thing, it's done like this. And so, so therefore, if I'm going to give up this way, then I give up, you know, what's the natural way of doing it, the normal way of doing it. Right? So that's not a correct, that's, you can see that's false ego. Person is doing an action, you say that's wrong how he's doing it, so then he gives up all action because he says that the only solution for improper action is no action, right? Because that's what happens, right? If you have so much false ego and you're doing something and someone tells you it's wrong, then you do nothing, right? That's false ego. That's just a matter of, no, do it in the correct way. What's the correct way of doing it? So that goes back to the spiritual platform. So false ego is why we're here, because we think we're separate from Krishna. That creates fear because we don't actually know who we are. So everything gives us fear. But when we know we're serving the Krishna, what on the material problem can actually give problem to the soul? That's why Jarada Bharat, he wasn't disturbed by anything. You know, because what can disturb? He's the soul. Nothing on the material platform can disturb him, the soul. So once one's fixed in that, then all fear goes away. You know, because you have no fear of your relationship with Krishna. Therefore, then you have no fear. But as soon as you have fear of your relationship with Krishna, he's the God, he's the control and enjoyer, I'm not. Then immediately we're put into this world of fear, where then because nothing here is actually akin to us, therefore we're fearful of anything can create a problem for my being situated, you know, eternally in knowledge and bliss. So once you connect to Krishna, then it gives up all that. Yes, please.
Maharaj, if we can understand theoretically that we are not this body and we trying to remember that we are the soul, but when we are in some unusual situation, for example, near the death, and we feel we feel the pain by leaving the death, by leaving the body. It's very difficult to remember that we are the soul because pain is very destructive. What to do?
Yes, but then you just have to surrender to Krishna that you can get beyond this. That's why it said it's a material ocean. And so by taking shelter, it says, of the spiritual master and devotional process and all that, then this ocean of material existence got shrunk down to the size of a calf's hoofprint, and then we could step across. So it's real, because we're worried about losing something, you know, things that we're attached to here, but they all belong to Krishna. Krishna's going to take care of them. They're all his. He's taking care of us anyway, according to how we're supposed to be taken care of, according to our previous action and according to our present action, you know, being in devotional service. Therefore, Krishna's working in such a way to bring us closer and closer to him. So he's arranging situations in that in which we can do this. So we can see is that it's by focus on Krishna alone that will be there. If we worry about anything else, or who will take care of the house, who will pay the bills, who will take care of the family, well, you know, what about all the money? I could have done this or that. The point is no, Krishna's going to take care of it. And so we just have to think about Krishna. That's our business. So all action that we're doing, engaging ourselves in the material energy to take care of all these different things, to make arrangements for facilities for ourselves, it's only useful in as much as it's bringing us closer to Krishna. But when you have that moment when you can then transfer to Krishna's position, it's done its work. It's finished. It's going to go on however it's going to go on. It has nothing to do with us, just like we can't control it anyway. We make our endeavor to control it, but how is it working? So therefore, for us, instead of getting frustrated that we're trying to control and enjoy that's not happening, we see the control and enjoy that we're trying to control it, you know, to get a nice outcome for Krishna. But it's that desire to get the nice outcome and making that endeavor with our knowledge to please Krishna, that is the devotion. That's what's pleasing Krishna. Whether you get the exact result you wanted or not doesn't matter, because it's not a matter once I get it, then I sit back. You see, it's eternal. It's going on. Mother Yashoda cooked lunch for Krishna. She does it again the next day. You know, every day. It's not that, oh, I cooked the perfect meal, now I can relax and just, you know, enjoy. No, it's something that they constantly are doing. So it's an ongoing process. That's why the bliss is ongoing. Because you do something, you get a result. Therefore, constant ongoing process, the results. But at the same time, the experience on the transcendental platform is eternal. It's not that it goes away like on the material platform. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes, Guru Maharaj. But Guru Maharaj, if, for example, in the time of death, we even can't remember our family members and our own name because we in a weak condition. So it means we don't worry about what will happen with them and with other our property and everything. But because of destruction, we can't also remember Krishna. And I think in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev, he said that that for bhakti, it's necessary to be not so much distracted and not so much attached and not so much detached in the middle. And does it mean that if in this life we... If we didn't get some very high level of Krishna consciousness in the time of death, we will not be able to focus on Krishna.
No, it's a matter of
situation is not beneficial.
No, the point is at any moment you can surrender to Krishna. Because that's the nature of the soul. It's not dependent upon our action. It's dependent upon our surrender to Krishna. So it's not that we've done big this, that, and all these things. These are just, you know, symptoms of someone doing something nice for Krishna. So because it's natural for the soul to take shelter of Krishna, just like you're saying, the pain is there, whatever it is, that you pulled back from, you know, the situation and the facilities and the family members, you're pulling in. Why not keep going? Why stop here? Why stop at the body? Why not? You pulled it back to there. Why not keep going? The soul, and in this heart of the soul is Krishna. And then surrender to Krishna, because there is no other, there's nothing else. So just that same process you're doing to pull it in, keep going to Krishna. That's the middle. Because you've given up, you've given that up. Okay, that's renunciation, but it's not too much of that, because that's, okay, but what about Krishna? And it's not too much attached. You're attached to those things. No, you'd be attached to Krishna. So renunciation of anything not connected to Krishna and attachment to Krishna alone, that's then the perfect balance.
But Guru Maharaj, I was 2 times in this, and I remember that because consciousness is so much weak, I just remember that I should remember someone, but I wasn't able to remember whom I should remember.
Yeah, but just keep focusing on that, and then Krishna is remembrance. And then if you're sincere enough to want to remember who you can't remember who you're supposed to remember, then Krishna will reveal. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so in other words, don't worry, because you can say, oh, it failed. No, it means you can work on that more, but you didn't die. So therefore, then, you know, it didn't come to that point. Like that. You know, but the point is you can learn from that, that yes, you want to keep remembering Krishna. So you have to keep it that remembering Krishna is the main thing. And so therefore in your life now you practice that, it makes it easier at that time. That's the idea. We're practicing for that moment. That moment is being fully fixed on Krishna. So therefore whatever we're doing now, we see it in connection with Krishna. So we're not so renounced that we give up everything and won't deal with anything. No, we see everything connected to Krishna. And we're not attached that whatever we have, then that's for us. No, it's all for Krishna. That's the balance, is that we're renounced of anything not connected to Krishna or attached to Krishna. And therefore, whatever connects to him through our facility and service, then that's where we absorb ourselves. Does that make any sense?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Riti. Having instructed that one should perform steady bhakti for getting free from fear. Next, the nature of bhakti. Oh, no, we already did this. We were down in. Okay. Then Jiva Goswami is commenting that. But by controlling the mind, which is part of yoga, one deviates from pure bhakti. So Jiva Goswami says, the mind will be controlled automatically by attachment to the Lord through performance of bhakti alone. Thus, bhakti is the only process. Right, so it's not a separate, so they're taking the external forms and taking it, that's the real thing. No, what's the purpose of that? Just like I'm cooking, it has an external form, but am I cooking for Krishna or am I cooking for myself? That's what makes the difference between spiritual and material, not cooking. Cooking's not what is, that's just religion. So religious processes, they can be used for serving Krishna and bhakti or bhakti, or for our own purpose of piety and getting good material facility. So we have to see is that, no, bhakti is that dedication to, I want to do these things to please the Lord. That's the whole point. Yeah? And so then Jiva Goswami is quoting, then from Bhagavatam, Srinvan Subhadrani Ratanga Paner Janmani Karamani Chayani Loke Gitani Namani Tad Artakani Gayan Vilajo Vichared Asangaha. Hearing the most auspicious birth and activities of Krishna, which are sung by all people, and singing his names, which describe those activities. Well, having no attachment to anything else, a person should, without shame, wander in the world, right? There's no shame, because when you say you're moving the world, maybe you have facility, maybe you don't. Whatever you have, someone won't like it. Just like, let's say I'm dressed very nicely, then people who are into streetwear will say, ah, look at this square. You know, who is this guy? Now let's say I'm dressed, you know, on streetwear, you know, then the guy dressed very nicely, he'll say, you know, look at this bump, you know. So it doesn't matter what you do, someone won't like it. This idea, oh, but if we dress in, you know, devote in these, you know, traditional kind of clothing, then some people will be disturbed and we don't want to disturb anybody. But it doesn't matter what you wear, they will be disturbed. I can guarantee you that you're wearing what you wear. If we go up to every person on the street and say, what do you think of this guy? What? How does he dress? How does he look? Most people won't like, or somebody, yeah, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Who is this guy anyway? Why should I care? You know, and if they do, they won't say, yeah, he looks fabulous and all that. And because he's dressed in, you know, just regular attire, I want to hang out with him. I want to find out what is his philosophy. What does he do in life? You know, it's so perfect. I just want to follow him. No, that's a total and absolute illusion. It's not what's happening. So therefore, you move in the world with no shame. If you're supposed to do like this, it's better for Krishna service like this. You do that. That's the way it is. You dress like this, you dress, then fine. You dress like that, you're fine. However it is, it's not a matter of anything else. It's a matter of your dressing to please Krishna. So without shame, then how you do, how you live, that you're doing things connected to Krishna, like that, it doesn't matter. Others will complain, but that doesn't matter. You just explain to them to relieve them of their foolishness, their ignorance, you know, and how they're misunderstanding. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It has just been said that one should worship the Lord with devotion. What is that bhakti? This verse answers. One should sing the names of the Lord which describe him in different languages and hear about his births and activities through scripture and disciplic succession, which is sung by all people, even ungrammatically. Singing and chanting, devoid of attachment to anything else, asangaha, he should wander around. Sardartha Darshani 11.2.39. In other words, he moves in the world that, without any attachment to anything else other than Krishna. So how it can be used to serve Krishna, how it can be seen in connection with Krishna, that's his only interest. And that way he moves in the world, because he doesn't have a purpose in the world other than pleasing Krishna. So then he's wandering in the world. So whether he's, you know, from his home, or whether he's just wandering in the forest, it doesn't matter. That it's all wandering, because we're not supposed to be here anyway. So we just, while we're here, we just engage whatever situation we have in Krishna's service. Yeah. Tad Artakani, Jiva Goswami continues, Tad Artakani means names which describe his birth and activities. Quote, it is impossible to know all the names, end quote. You know, so this is the doubt. One should hear and sing the names sung in the world. The famous names, Jani Loke Gitani, and wander in the world without desires, asangaha. Kavi spoke thus to Nimi, because you can't know all the names. So, because I can't know all the names, I can't know any of the names. That'd be like saying, you're hungry, you want to eat something, but I can't eat all the food in the world, so I might as well eat nothing. You know, it's stupid. I can't stay in all the houses of the world, so therefore, why should I stay in any house? Or I can't sleep all the sleep there is in the universe, so I won't sleep. No. These are foolish, you know, but I can't know all the names, so I'll know none of them. But it's mundane. These things are mundane. So he's pointing out is you just know what is known. So therefore, in your community, what's known, you use that. And if you come in contact with more or beyond, then you can get into that. Riti. In the previous Anucheda, it is explained that one should completely give up all other activities when engaged in chanting and hearing about the Supreme Lord. However, unless one has full faith in the devotional process, one cannot perform these activities all the time, right? So when he has full faith, you can do it all the time. Otherwise, one has faith, so part of the time you'll do it when the things are very favorable for engaging the activities, or when it's a time set aside for that. You've regulated your life, so let's say the morning program is set aside. But one might find that during the day, one doesn't necessarily regularly think of Krishna, because one is thinking of that time is for me to do whatever I'm doing. When in actuality, it's all meant for serving Krishna. So even one's duties, you know, in family life and that is done to please Krishna. It's all about Krishna. And so in that way, then one will be able to remember. Right? We're good? Yeah? Okay. So, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chai. Srila Prabhupada ki chai.